Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. All right, here we are, Scott. Another episode on a weekend. We have got to get out of this habit of recording in the middle of the day on weekends because it just throws me all off.
I will do my best to stop traveling up and down the East Coast, but I don't think that's going to change.
No, I'm guessing you're going to just keep traveling.
Here and there. Yeah, and I get to spend a couple days in... Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, you told me, well, we had a user group, Wednesday? And you told me like Wednesday afternoon, oh, by the way, I'm not going to be there tonight.
Yeah, you know, quick last minute thing to drive to Charlotte and deliver a couple days of a class for a customer. So deep dive on Microsoft Azure. Nothing better to spend 16 hours straight talking about.
Because you can do a deep dive into all of Azure in 16 hours, right? Because there's not that much there.
It wasn't all of Azure. It was really 2 days of networking and network security.
Got it.
Which is a little more constrained, but yeah.
Anyways, speaking of traveling, we actually got word, I can't remember, it was like a week ago or so, that we had talked about this before. You're going to be out at the SharePoint conference, North America, in Vegas in the end of May.
So I have two sessions out there in May. It is May 21st through the 23rd. And if people want a $50 discount, they can use the code SHOAG, S-H-O-A-G, to sign up. And that would be awesome. They get $50 off. And I think they get entered maybe for an Xbox. I don't know. Go read the terms and conditions and all that stuff. But yeah, I'll be out there two sessions. I have one on Office 365 usage reporting, which we've talked a lot about here.
I'm going to come ask questions.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of taking that tool set, and yeah, user adoption is important, but let's operationalize the thing and get it over. And then I also have one on Office 365 security, which that can go a bunch of different ways too. But we'll kind of talk about the security stack and run through all the different things that are available in a whirlwind breakout session.
Yeah, it'll be good times. And originally, I wasn't actually going to be out there. I wasn't planning on it, and things worked out, and I will actually be able to join you out there now. So I'm going to be out there just doing podcast stuff.
Yeah. You know, the best part of that, I don't have to carry the Zoom anymore.
You know what? I thought about that. I'm like, now I'm back to carrying my 5 pounds of recording stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll carry some of mine. Like, I'll bring a microphone and an XLR cable or something. We'll be all good. We'll figure it out.
All right. Sounds good. So if you listen to the podcast and you're going to be out there, track us both down. We'll have stickers again. Do some interviews. If you listen to this and you have something you want to talk about or have just always wanted to be on a podcast with a couple of no names, yeah, we'd love to interview you. Love to talk to different people out there and, again, get a bunch of interviews, hopefully cover a bunch of SharePoint news that'll come out at that event. So it should be a good time.
I'm really looking forward to it.
So that being said, what do you want to talk about today?
I think today we are going to talk about a superset of the SharePoint and Exchange and Skype messaging platform. Everybody's favorite friend, Microsoft Teams.
We've talked about this one a few times on this show, but I feel like this is one of those platforms that it's changing and growing and evolving so quickly that there's always stuff to talk about. So I think the last time we did a Teams episode, I think this is actually our third Teams episode. I think we did one shortly after we started the podcast. We did another one while we were at Ignite in September. And we're going to do another one and try to catch you up on some of the news that's come out recently, some of the updates, some of the features, where they are in some of the roadmap stuff on Teams and how that's kind of evolved even since September.
Cool. So why don't we start with, we're into March now. So let's start with the February update and some of the things that have come into play there that are latest and greatest and all available. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me.
Awesome. So when we start to walk through, they're on a good monthly cadence now, right? Lots of new information coming along. They're bumping along at a good pace here. So when we get into the February update, there's a bunch of different things that have happened in the chat space, the collaboration space, when we think about being able to do connectors, bring contents into Teams, and also some of the calling capabilities, right, with some of the Skype and PSTN stuff. So on the chat front, you can now share your chat history. So as you go through, one of those downsides of Teams today is still when I initiate a Teams chat, it doesn't float over to Skype, right? If we're both on Teams, you got to remember to go in there, do things like that. So now what we can do is we can take our individual chats and we can actually add people into the chats, which is awesome, just like we could with a Skype conversation, really just about any modern platform. Heck, we can even do that with SMS, right? So this is good and it's growing along. Now we can also go ahead when we initiate those and bring people into them. You actually get a choice to say, don't include the chat history, include the whole chat history, or go back a specific number of days. So if you and I have had an ongoing chat inside of Teams for the last 30 days, and some of it's not applicable, we can go ahead and bring party number 3 into the chat. We could say, hey, over the last day, you and I have been talking about this. So they have the ability to scroll back, get the context, do that collaboration and knowledge management piece, and be able to have a more meaningful conversation.
Yeah, this is a really nice feature because I know I've done it before where you want to bring somebody else into a chat, include them in, and then you have to go like recap everything you just talked about. Now it's just, hey, go back, take a few minutes, read the last day's worth of chats, and catch yourself up. Another one that they added to this now is before you've been able to do at mentions in a channel. So if I had a channel conversation just openly in that team, I could do at Scott Hoag, it would mention you, get a coworker. It helped to kind of alert them, know that you were talking about them in the channel and you wanted to address them specifically. This feature was not available in the one-to-one conversations or a group chat up until now. So now if you have a one-to-one chat, if you've done one of those group chats where you've added multiple people to a chat, you have at mentions that are available there. And it works just like the channel one. Pop up an alert, let them know in their activity feed that, hey, you got mentioned in this chat, you should probably go read it.
My favorite one in chat that I've seen so far, especially once you dive into the Teams platform and you start to consume it more and more, it gets very, what's the right way? It gets noisy quickly, right? Especially in larger organizations or if you're on multiple teams and multiple tenants and all those kinds of things. Now you have the ability to go ahead and mute chats. So we can go in, actually just right-click on a chat or hit the little ellipses for it, and you can go ahead and mute it. And when you do that, it just holds all the notifications for it. So you'll still get your notifications in, you won't get the notification, right? You'll still receive new messages and you'll, you know, see your badge with your count and things like that. It just doesn't pop up in that Toast notification, which doesn't respect your Toast settings anyway. So it's very nice to be able to cut down on some of that noise.
Exactly. That one can be a big one because we've all gotten stuck in chats that get really noisy or maybe they even get off topic or change topics. And you're like, you know what? I honestly no longer care about this. I just want to mute it. Or if you just want to focus, you just don't want those notifications for a little while because you have to focus on whatever you're working on at the time, this can be huge, just being able to mute those.
And these features, they're getting really good too about flighting them across platforms. So it's not just in the desktop client or the web client. It's also available on the mobile side too.
So another one, this is another one too that is available both on Windows and Mac, is those Toast notifications. So when you get mentioned, when a chat pops up and you get that little notification that pops up in the upper right-hand corner, bottom left-hand corner, varies sometimes depending on what platform you're on, you now have a reply button in there. So you can just click on the reply, do a quick little reply, respond to that person without having to pop open the whole Teams client, maybe get sucked into other conversations, other distractions. Just gives you a nice little option to do that quick reply.
On the Mac, do they respect do not disturb settings for those Toast notifications, or is it like Windows and they still come through?
You know what? I'm going to have to test that out. I need somebody else on my team.
Yeah, invite me to a team and I'll come into one.
I invited you to a team at one point in time. Remember, it doesn't work.
It does work now. So I'm going to do one of those like jump ahead things. But one of the really cool things is now we're going to have the ability to bring those MSA accounts in.
Woohoo!
So you will finally be able to, well, maybe depending on your organization and whether you allowed those guest accounts anyway in the first place, you will finally be able to bring, MSA accounts into your Microsoft Teams. All the limitations apply that apply with guest accounts. It didn't seem like there was too much that was different there. Just the user flow. There's some weird things. Have you added anybody in or is that flighted in any of your tenants yet?
I shouldn't. Should I go try it a minute while we're talking? Nothing like...
Absolutely. Go try it with mine and go and try and add me in.
Here, let me go add a member.
So there's a couple things that happen. When you add a guest account, all you know about the guest is their email address, right? So I don't have a first name and a last name and a phone number and an office location. I don't have rich metadata in the MSA directory that can be imported into Azure AD when you bring me in as a guest account into your directory. So you, as the person who adds me, you'll have the option at the time you add me. So when you go ahead and actually put my email address into the add a team member, you'll see a little pencil icon go ahead and appear up there. So anybody who's adding guests into their tenancy should absolutely kind of take care of this critical step up front, at least first name, last name for the person, so they show up the right way. If you don't do that, what happens is you'll add me as Scott@contoso.com, and I'll come into your tenant, and all you'll ever see from me is the email address, and you'll actually have to reach back to your Azure Active Directory administrator or somebody who's an administrator, like a user account administrator within your Office 365 tenancy with access to Azure AD to go ahead and update that first name, last name, things like that, so that they show up the right way.
All right. I just invited your Gmail account that you have used before to a couple of teams in my tenant. And it let me add you.
Breaking news. I actually got the notification too.
Now the question is, can you actually log in?
That would be an interesting... Well, I'd have to sign out of my current one. Actually, I could just sign in a web browser. Open the web app.
Yes, you should. Well, and even if you sign in, so if you are a guest, you should, even in your Teams app, have that option up in the upper right-hand corner now to like quickly flip between teams that you're a guest of. So I actually have four different teams up there now.
Well, you can do that, but you're still only signed into one account in the team's tenant. So holy cow, that actually worked.
Did it? Which one are you chatting with me in?
I don't know.
You're not chatting with me yet. I don't see anything. Oh, there it is.
Oh, I can even see the other one. Holy cow, that's amazing.
This is kind of cool.
I didn't actually think that would work. Kids in a candy shop, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, we have now been officially distracted from filling you guys in, and we are playing with our team's tenant. So this was announced. It was announced last week, I think February 28th, and they announced that it was supposed to be coming out this week. So they did it, and it works.
That's why I was trying to see where you were flighted and all that, if they had locked it down or something. So very cool. Now I'm going to go put some inappropriate memes in this chat while you continue talking.
No, we're not talking about memes. Memes are weird. Sorry. Go look at our conversation we had on Twitter last night. I don't even know what day that was. What was it? March 2? Go look for a bunch of tweets.
You're disappointed with the administrative controls in Teams.
I am disappointed with the administrative controls and the meme control that actually does absolutely nothing as far as I can tell. It's a bizarre, weird thing. Maybe I'll write a blog post on it.
It has not been 24 hours yet, and you haven't sacrificed a chicken and a goat.
That is true. I'll have to go test it. I'll write a blog post on it. We'll have an update on this one.
All right. So cool. We can do guests in Teams now.
We are way off track.
We can do guest, actual guest MSA accounts in Teams, which is very, very, very nifty. One of the other cool things that came out is you can now restore deleted channels. So you'll actually see channels that have been deleted show up in like a Teams recycle bin. So you can restore back into the chats and the files and everything that are associated with those.
Yeah, that one, because we've all accidentally deleted stuff before. The fact that this didn't go into a recycle bin like almost everything else in Office 365 was somewhat of a disadvantage. So it's nice to see that you can now restore those deleted teams.
This isn't a team. This is a channel within a team.
Or a channel. Sorry, not a team. Yes, channel. Thanks. Misspoke there. Teams, channels, groups.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's my job to go ahead and keep you straight. The only thing you have to watch out for with that one is depending on your administrative controls and how you want to layer things in and actually run them from a governance side of things. By default, all team members will have the ability to delete and restore channels. And then you as a team owner can go ahead and restrict that.
Have you tried to delete a channel and create a new one with the same name yet? To see what happens?
No, I'm not that. Not that froggy.
Yeah, I haven't either. That's another thing to be aware of too, is sometimes with these deleted ones now, if you go to recreate it with the same name, you'll get some error, or it'll actually give you a goofy name, do something goofy with some of the backend stuff by appending numbers. We'll try to test that one out too and get an update on that. So there's also some stuff with the mobile clients, iOS and Android apps. So some new chat functionality in the mobile apps too, actually the same stuff that came to the desktop app. So going back to your comment about rolling this out across all the different platforms, you can now share chat history, app mentions, mute a chat, do quick reply. Those are all on iOS and Android as well.
It's almost like I knew that there was going to be feature parity across them and just threw that in there.
Yeah, it is. It's like you were reading ahead in our notes or something.
I'm telling you, I got two cups of coffee in me. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, so you can also share content from other apps into Teams now. So I know I do this too on iOS. I'm reading a article on a website, or I have a cute picture of a cat or my kids that I want to share with my team because I don't actually have a cat. My kids. We'll stick with my kids because my kids are awesome. If you're in a different app, now you can use that whole share button in the app and actually share it into Teams. So again, a quick way, if you are reading something, looking at something, and you do need to share it in Teams or want to share it with the rest of the team, that functionality is there now.
Awesome. You can also create Teams from mobile now, which is a feature that was kind of missing. So should you want to be kind of mobile first across how you do your deployment or interact with Teams, that is totally possible as well now.
Yeah. The one that is still missing, I thought I heard this is on Android. I haven't looked. Is the ability to switch between teams to actually leverage a guest team in your mobile app.
That is not there on iOS, last I checked, but who knows? I might not.
Yeah, it's not iOS. Someone told me it was on Android. I haven't checked Android.
It could be. So usually the way they flight between the mobile teams is they go with the TikTok cadence, right? So new features for iOS, the next release, new features for Android, the next release, new features for iOS, and then they go back and forth that way.
Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully it comes eventually. I actually have some clients I'm using Teams with, and we've started using meetings in Teams. It's really great if I'm at my computer to join it. We've actually noticed, at least on a Mac, and they seem to even notice it on Windows, that the video, audio, screen sharing, all of that in a Teams meeting actually works better than an Skype for Business meeting.
It's interesting. It does seem to have something going on there. The only thing that I've run into is that not everybody knows what Teams is. So you might have a large initiative, like we're doing this at a client now where there's probably, I don't know, the project team is 40 to 60 people. And, you know, only 50%, let's say 30 people, have actually signed into Teams. But we do all the meetings there and we launch everything there. So like even if you went into your calendar and Outlook, it says, hey, this is a Teams meeting, open Microsoft Teams. But the number of people who can't join Teams because they haven't gotten into the client, they never signed in, they're confused, they're trying to go through like onboarding. It's just the number of times where we spin something up and we go, oh, well, though there's something wrong, the user can't figure out Teams or whatever, so then we got to go back and create a Skype meeting anyway.
Yeah.
You can't negate that like user training side of it and making sure everybody is where they need to be just from an education perspective, right? We're going to go this way. We're going to do it this way. We're going to do this thing. And because we're doing this, you as a user need to do this, this, and this.
Exactly. But one issue I have is some of those guest meetings now, I can't join them from my mobile device because I can't switch over to that guest tenant. So that is one limitation, more if you're a guest of a bunch of teams and you need to join meetings. Another feature that they have added recently, and this actually has come to both the desktop and now the mobile clients, since September, it was one of their items on the roadmap, was bringing the PSTN calling and voicemail into Microsoft Teams. So if I have that Teams client installed now, if I have the enterprise voice, so that Cloud PBX, the PSTN calling plans, I can now make and receive phone calls into Teams using the Skype, Cloud, PBX, voice, PSTN calling, all of that. There is some things that I feel like they're going to have to work through with incoming calling.
And you think?
This is probably the reason. So if you do want to try incoming calling, by default, they have not enabled that part of it yet. So outgoing calling works great. It's enabled. You can go in and dial a phone number. Incoming calls will still ring Skype for Business by default. If you want to change that, you can use some PowerShell, and we'll link to the article about how to configure all this in the show notes. You can use PowerShell to switch incoming calling to Teams, or you can set it up so that within the Teams client, users get their choice of where they want that incoming call to ring, whether they want to use Teams, whether they want to use Skype for Business. One of the limitations is what we were mentioning earlier, where if you need to switch to a guest tenant, you actually sign out of your tenant into the guest tenant. So for me, I have some clients, I'm in their guest tenants. Sometimes I'll spend 3 or 4 hours over in their tenants because of meetings, because of conversations. Because I sign out and sign back in, if I have incoming calling routed to Teams and I am in a guest tenant, it does not ring. I miss the phone call. It says, yeah, I just missed the phone call. It goes straight to voicemail. I do get a notification when I jump back to my tenant that I missed a phone call. I can listen to the voicemail. But if they're going to bring incoming calling into Teams, I feel like they somehow have to figure out a way so that an incoming call can ring no matter if you're signed into your tenancy or into one of your guest tenancies. Maybe I'm the exception, but I just feel like that's a feature they would have to get figured out.
Eventually, there's still a number of disconnects, right? And it's not just calling. There's all sorts of little quirks. So let's take one of my big ones is like the bots and connectors thing, right? And being able to come back. And if you're in your primary tenancy, you know, the one you're actually signed into with your org ID, I've been a big fan of playing around with the Whobot and the organizational structure and things like that that just manifest inside of chat and all over the place. But then as soon as you sign out of your tenancy and you go into one of those guest tenants, you don't have access to the same slash commands. You don't have access to the same apps. There's no way to get in there and even add them in and be able to work the same way you do. So you always, as a user, have to be contextually aware of which side of the fence you're on, or you know where you're at and what's going on, and it's a big user burden.
Yeah, although I don't know, I'm torn on this because even Slack, you take Slack as an example, the slash commands there will also change based on what channels you're in or how you move and what add-ins and connections there are. So some of that you would expect.
They will, but in Slack, I have the ability to go ahead and use the same ones if I just add them back in, right? So if I'm doing an RSS connector, I can go into Slack and in my primary channel, the one I created, right, like my original Slack group, I can go ahead and add that RSS feed and be done with it. And I can go to my next Slack channel, and as long as the admin has given me rights to do it, I'm good to go, right?
That's true.
I can't do that in Teams. It's not that, like, I just don't have the option. So even if I wanted to set myself up for success from just an awareness side, and really for a user to have to be less situational, right? And understand what they're doing.
They can have the same permissions, and if they have the same permissions, do the same things no matter where they are.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a great start.
That makes sense. So another recent one was Planner, Microsoft Teams and Planner apps. This is an issue they have been fighting with for a while. With some of the clients I've worked with, it's actually hindered rolling out Planner, because some of them do use it, really like it. Before, you could create a new Planner plan for every channel. Within a team, you could create multiple Planner plans within the various channels. This got really goofy because if you go back to groups and you think about groups, you used to create a group and a group would get one Planner plan. A team is associated with one group, but you could have multiple Planner plans within a team, which kind of broke the whole one planner plan per group. So you would go into that planner app in Planner and you wouldn't actually see a whole bunch of those planner plans, planner instances, I guess, that had been created in your various channels and teams.
You would see them under your tasks, but you wouldn't actually be able to see the plans. Yeah.
You couldn't see the whole plan.
They didn't exist as far as Planner was concerned.
You can see that now.
Ooh, really?
Big celebration. Yes. So February 23, there was a post that went out that starting today, so the day they posted it on February 23, you can now access all of your plans from Teams within the Planner web app. Within the Planner Hub, you'll see all the plans from Teams. So this is one I haven't fully tested out yet and jumped into, but if you take our word for it, Microsoft's word for it, all those planner plans that are in Teams should now be showing up within your Planner web app.
Sweet. So can I create multiple planner plans and get that one-to-many relationship in Planner as well? Or do I still have to create them through that Teams backdoor? Do you know that one?
I do not know that one.
You're useless to me.
I know. If we had more than like 2 or 3 minutes left, we could go play with this one just like we did with external guests. But we'll have to come back to this one. We'll have to do a Planner episode.
That wouldn't do me any good because there's no guests in Planner. So it would be useless for me. Alas.
Maybe someday.
I think it would be helpful to really quick rundown, just because you put all that stuff in the notes. There's a bunch of resources out there for people to keep up to date with these things across a bunch of different formats, from either the official published roadmap side of things, of here is, you know, Office 365 roadmap, and specifically like Teams and Skype for Business, as that transition continues to go, has a little bit of its own roadmap. There's a bunch of YouTube channels out there. So there is one that is called Teams on Air, which is, I think, a little bit more the business-driven, like kind of like architecture side of Teams and all the things that go into that. There's another one that's called Coffee in the Cloud, which is people from the product group being interviewed on features as they come out. And that one can be a little bit more technical as well.
Yeah, and kind of with that whole Teams on Air. So Teams on Air has been on YouTube for a little while now. I think they're up to like 60, 62, 63 episodes. They also are now available on a podcast. So if you go out to iTunes and search for Teams on Air, you can find it. It's a short little, I think their episodes tend to be like 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. Nope, they vary. They're anywhere from 15 minutes to 45 minutes or more. Aren't you glad we just keep ours to 30 minutes? It makes it really easy.
Every time. That's why I made you do it.
Yes. So that is also, again, it's kind of hard because some of the stuff, because they started on YouTube, some of it is very visually driven. So if you listen to the podcast, you can't always see what they're talking about, and it isn't always the greatest experience. But if that's what you got, you can listen to it as a podcast. And then the Teams blog. They just keep cranking out articles. We'll post a link to this. But follow that Teams blog on the techcommunity.microsoft.com. A lot of the announcements they post out there. And then, like you said, there's a roadmap that has the PDF file that they shared at Ignite. They have made updates to it as they've rolled stuff out. But you can also see a lot of the stuff that's in the works for Teams and just that normal Office 365 roadmap. So we can post a link to that as well, but lots of different ways to keep up with all of the features, functionality that's coming, that's rolled out, that they're working on in Teams.
Perfect.
All right. And since we just mentioned the 30 minutes, that about brings us to our 30 minutes.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Not a problem. Thank you. And we'll talk to you next week. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.